Imagination is a very wonderful thing. A lot of people have imagination and never use it. A lot of people have imagination and use it a little bit. A lot of people have imagination and use it a lot. So if you add up a lot and a lot and a lot, you get everybody. So what is it that you do when you use imagination? Ingeborg gave a talk this morning, and in her talk, she gave several good illustrations of experiences from her life. But Ingeborg wanted to make them factual, as she actually remembered them and actually experienced them. And because of that, she had the story turn out in another direction than we would have liked. But I say to Ingeborg, and I say to all of us, you think you're factual? You think you're factual telling me the story of your life? Telling me the story of things that go on in your life? You've got to be kidding. You're no more factual than the man in the moon. Number one, do you know what that person really is like that you're talking about? Even yourself. Do you know what that person is like? Do you know what their thinking is? Do you know what their imagination is? Do you know what their dreams and their desires are? And Ingeborg was telling us what this man's dreams and desires were, and she was entirely wrong. Why was she wrong? She was wrong because of one thing. She never was inside that man. She never was in his heart, in his mind. She can only imagine by the things he did. But the things he did might not really have been out picturing the things that he wanted to do in his heart, which has happened so often with all of us, that we make do for things. Now, Ingeborg, I want you to come up and go swimming in the pool. Ingeborg says, well, okay, Herb, if you say I have to go swimming in the pool, I'll go. Well, in her heart, she doesn't want to go swimming in the pool. She wants to go take a nap. And she can visualize herself laying down and taking a nap, not swimming in the pool. And I think that she wants to swim in the pool because she came along to swim in the pool. The only reason Ingeborg comes along to swim in the pool is because she wants to do it. Because Ingeborg only does what she wants to do. So when I tell her to do something, then she does that too. And so you might think that it was Ingeborg's idea to go swimming in the pool when it really wasn't. And then while Ingeborg was in the pool, she was lying on her back floating, and a bird came and landed on her tummy. And she said to the birdie, "Off, please, your talons, they pinch my tummy, you know." And the bird says, "Please, madame, I'm taking a breather. I'll be gone in a moment." "Oh, you speak," she says. And the bird says, "Why, of course I speak. Doesn't every bird speak if one has the ears to listen? How do you think I can hear you with your garbled message? You don't speak in beautiful melodic words like the birds do. Here, you speak in this garbled talk, blah, 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 blah. And you think that's pretty? My goodness. Would you like to listen to us all day long, or would you like to listen to you all day long?" "Well, to tell the truth, I'd rather listen to the birds. They sound much more beautiful." "Well, Mr. Bird, how come I can understand you? I really haven't concentrated on learning how to understand a bird. How can I do that?" And the bird said, "Because I chose to let you." "And you chose to let me? You mean you have a superior mind to mine?" "No, we all have the same mind." "Well, yeah, that's what we teach. But we do, we all have the same mind. And I use the same mind you do, only I am more in charge of certain areas of my mind than you are. And you are in charge of certain areas of your mind that I'm not. And I really am not interested in being in charge of my mind in areas that you're in charge of. And quite likely, you wouldn't be interested in being in charge of my mind in the areas I'm in charge of." Whew. Wait till I tell the gang that I just talked to a talking bird. And they will think, "Ingeborg, you've gone over the hill." And I'll say, "No, no, no, it really is so. And he told me he let me understand him. And it just came along, and you were floating. In the first place, Ingeborg, I haven't seen you float on your back very well in the pool. You seem to sink more than you float. Now, where did he find your belly to land on?" "Well, he must have created me floating good, so he had a landing place." "Well, okay, that goes along with the story. You know, that's imagination." So imagination is just lots of fun when you let it have its reign. Now, to imagine somebody's doing something terrible to you, that is really a fun thing. I'm going to have to walk down the street after I get off the bus, and I know that somebody's going to get off the bus and follow me down the street and try to hurt me. And I just know that. I know that. And so you get off the bus, and somebody follows you down the street. And you say, where is my brain? I'm so stupid. I created that guy following me. Now I'm going to create him being a nice person. And so you turn to the guy, as our story goes, and you say, sir, I feel a little sensitive walking these blocks here alone in the dark. Would you walk with me? I'd feel so much more secure. And he walks with you. Not a very pleasant person, a little gruff. And so when you get to your house, you turn to him and you say, sir, it was so nice of you to walk down the street with me. I really appreciate it. I felt so much more secure. And then he tells you, ma'am, I planned on robbing you. But when you trusted me, I couldn't. Now, you see, could that be true? Could that be false? Why don't we do that all the time? Why don't we put the cause in motion and start thinking that we're in charge of our imagination, we're in charge of our dreams? Do these things happen for bad or for good or for anything that we want them to happen? Why not always have them happen for something that's wonderful? So, imagination is our gift to ourself from ourself. It's a gift that we use to understand the world that we're in, to see the world that we're in. I look out here and I see this little bird sitting next to this other little bird on the thing here, trapeze. And then he goes up and gets a drink, and he just is relaxed and peaceful, and he's back on there. He's smart. He doesn't fly 100 miles away and then come back to the feeder. He just stays right close by. And he's got his buddy there. Buddy's a little different color than he is, but he doesn't notice his buddy's different color. Anita took a little pretend bird that was in an Easter basket, and a little chickie, and screwed him onto the thing there. And this guy thinks that he's real, very quiet, but he's quiet too sometimes, you know. But Anita went into the garage and found this little guy, and the cat brought him in, Anita in to find him, and Anita mothered him back and loved him, and ever since then, he's been a friend of the family here now. He realizes he's around friends. But now, pretty soon, he's going to have babies. Yes, he's going to have babies, and his wife. And they're going to have all these kids, and they're going to train them all to come over and sit on the trapeze and just fly from the trapeze to the feeder, because there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. So he's going to teach his kids to come over here. Now, will his kids follow him? You bet. Will they think, wow, Pa, this is better than flowers any day? You know, a lot more sweetness here and a lot faster, and water too. You know, that's cool. Now, if you watch him, he sticks his tongue out every once in a while, and it's this forked tongue that he puts down into the water to bring up a lot of juice to him, because a little dot will go a long way with him. See, there's his buddy. He went up to pick him up. That's his wife. She's on the line up there. She's not accustomed to being so close to the trapeze and the feeder. She likes to be off, and she just whistled to him and said, sweetheart, it's mating time, come on. And so he had to take off and take care of his duty, you know. So, he did it very fast. Well, you know, they have to fertilize these eggs, because if they don't fertilize the eggs, they don't hatch babies. And I'm sure these things lay eggs, too, that are unhatched, unfertilized sometimes, too, you know. Or do they? Or are all of theirs fertilized? We should really find out sometime. Read a book on it.
No, we should talk to them, Herb.
Anita? Next time you're having a conversation with them? Or no, Ingeborg. You've got the line. Mm-hmm. Next time one lands on your belly in the pool, see, there's his wife. Mm-hmm. She's saying, come on, come on. Yeah, and he goes. She says, I've been waiting for this message, you know. We need to have this little fun time together. And it's a great program. Now, is that imagination? Is that an acceptable imagination? Is that a believable imagination? Is that your imagination? Is that my imagination? Isn't it wonderful? Hi, John. He's back again.
John.
Yep. And his wife, Anita? Yep. And they'll bring all their little kids here. She's just about curious. At first you have a dozen, and then two dozen, and then she'll have to put up some more trapezes out there for them. And then you'll have to put a little megaphone system out there so that we can hear them through the window. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's through the window speakers, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we could hear them when they're singing out there. Nice, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what imagination's all about. And the more you develop your imagination, the more exciting it is. And the more you play with your imagination, the more you realize that whatever it is you think or create, that's exactly what you get. That's exactly what you get. So be imaginative, be creative, and have fun. I love you.